Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
It's been a tough old editorial meeting today ahead of this World Service promo. We agonised for a number of hours, Ciarán, over whether or not to let these guys in on the most popular slot of our Six Nations coverage every year. Some said this is the kind of thing that needs to stay purely on the World Service. The non-members will sign up in their droves to hear it, from Murrayfield to Moy Ross, from Dundrum to Dunfermline, from Loughlinstown to Loch Ness.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about. It's the slot that unites us with our Scottish cousins every year. And it was back with a bang today. It's Hogwatch!
You know, I had a huge amount of belief within the boys to come down here and win.
Stuart Hogg turns up to talk of winning the podium. Oh, I love it!
Stuart Hogg!
I believed in the boys' ability.
Man of the match!
Scotland are a disgrace to the boys.
So
yes.
Ah, I'm delighted, Owen. I'm delighted you're delighted. It's a new Six Nations season. I don't know if you've noticed, Owen. It's coming down the tracks. And what one phrase comes to your mind time and time again in this febrile pre-tournament atmosphere, in this oldest and grandest of sporting contests between nations?
Do you want me to answer that, or do you want to answer it yourself?
I'll give you one guess.
Scotland are in it to win it.
No, Owen, you have to hammer the hammer.
Oh.
Hammer the hammer.
Take your opponents on where they're strongest, Ken. And that's the word coming from the England camp. You think no one's better than the Scots at talking up the Scots? Well, think again.
We are in a position to win the Six Nations.
Yes. The Times of London breathlessly reports this week, Owen Farrell, the England captain, believes his team will face the best Scotland team in living memory in Saturday's Calcutta Cup.
Brilliant stuff, Owen Farrell.
At Twickenham. Owen Farrell, born September 24th, 1991. So I'd hate to be a fly on the wall in the Pountney household as old Budge gives Duncan Hodge a call. Were our championship winning efforts of 1999 all for naught? Anyway, back to old Farrell's press conference. They're playing as good as I can ever remember, Farrell guffawed. The autumn results probably didn't reflect how well they played, he chortled to widespread amusement. At the same time, we want to make sure that we show the crowd at Twickenham what we're about. A team that will work hard for each other. Stick in together. You could really hear Owen Farrell.
I could hear a bit of Owen there, yeah.
And they're going to need it because, according to, yes, Owen, the Hawick paper, one man is feeling better than ever. I refer, of course, to Stuart William Hogg.
God, he didn't drop that, did he?
I'm afraid he did, Dull. We'll never forget it. He revealed recently to the Hawick paper of record that he swims in the sea nearly every day. It helps both the body and mind, and it really invigorates me, said the fullback. And he has continued this trend in their warm-up camp.
That sounds like real sponsored content. Like he's sponsored by the Sea Swimmers Association of Scotland or something.
Just when you thought Stuart Hogg couldn't get any more annoying, he starts talking about his sea swimming habit. Anyway, an invigorated Stuart Hogg. Buckle up, Owen, because I have a feeling, I just have a feeling, this could be their year. Play the fucking bed, Simon, you moron.
I had a huge amount of belief within the boys to come down here and win.
Stuart Hogg turns up to talk of winning the podium. I love it.
Stuart Hogg.
I believed in the boys' ability.
Man of the match.
Scotland are a disgrace to World Sport.
There you go, Monday only listeners. Just take it all. Hogwatch in its entirety. It's a terrible business decision, Murph.
Yeah. But I don't know why I called him a moron. That was harsh. You know. That, you know, a moron. I mean,
it's a lot of things.
Sure, it's a really fun word to say.
Yeah. But. You just lost the run of yourself. You are at your happiest and wildest when delivering Hogwatch. But you know, from now on, we're not going to give that away for free anymore.
Yeah, I think that's
any
fair.
Further Hogwatches in this current Six Nations.
Firmly behind the paywall.
Agreed, Murph. Agreed. I like that. I like that policy. We did some actual Six Nations analysis too. Ireland travelled to.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we do that.
I thought I'd nailed it, but fair enough.
Ireland travelled to Cardiff to kick things off, where we have a wretched recent record. What's it? Shane Horgan could tell us from personal experience how difficult it is to play there.
The atmosphere doesn't dissipate because you know the roof is open, and I can tell you from first-hand experience.
It just gets sweatier.
It does get sweatier. Now, you know, I don't know what their conditions are. You know, obviously there's no wind, no rain. It's not a particularly comfortable place to play when the roof is shut either. But I found it's a very difficult place to play when the roof was open as well. It's very, you know, the atmosphere is very heavy. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of air in the stadium. And
even when the roof is open.
Yeah. I found it, you know, honestly, it feels as if the roof was closed even when the roof is open. If that makes sense. That the way the structure is, that kind of looms over you, and it doesn't feel as if the air can get down on the pitch because it's, you know, the stands are so big. And, you know, that's not, you know, I suppose Twickenham is probably bigger and sort of bigger capacity, but it never felt that overawing to me. And the Millennium, as it was then, the Principality as it now, I found it very, very difficult or very challenging to play in. I never felt comfortable. I always felt I was kind of out of breath, or it was almost like playing on at altitude. That's what it felt like when we're going out there. So
sounds relaxing.
I think it's going to be difficult either way. You know, I don't know. I wonder what the thinking behind it is, but I can tell you the thinking isn't because they want to sample the atmosphere. I don't think
so. That's a line. That's a company line to be trotted out. You think maybe?
Yeah, it's up there with Sexton's line of "I don't hold any grudge against Warren Gatland," as things that definitely aren't true.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a beautiful summer's day. The breeze is stupendous.
Stupendous. Stupendous.
Would this podcast be even more stupendous without ads?
Without ads?
Ads. If so, then join us for daily commercial-free shows at secondcaptains.com for just €5 a month.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not bumping them up. I'm not Irish. I'm just saying my observations. Yeah. They are amazing.
Stupendous.
In the football world this week, Chelsea's lavish spending in the transfer market has been the story. It's been met with the extremely obnoxious emoji with the tongue hanging out and the dollar signs.
Yeah.
I've seen that in a lot of places.
Doesn't get any more obnoxious than that.
No, that is the most obnoxious emoji, isn't it? It's up there. Yeah.
Although other people will say the thumbs up one is actually the most obnoxious one because it's passive aggressive.
It's not really, is it?
I don't believe that, but
I use it quite a lot.
Apparently, nothing says "I don't care about what you've just told me" more than a thumbs up emoji.
You know, after our regular arguments, you'll text going, "We still cool, bro?" And, yeah, I'll just text back with a thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's totally genuine, Murph. Yeah. Absolutely 100% genuine.
I'm concerned.
But anyway, the more discerning journalists have eschewed the emoji option. They've been out there trying to figure out what the hell Chelsea's plan is. Journalists like Gabriele Mercotti.
And also, how are they going to fulfill their longer-term goal in the sense that, you know, these aren't vanity investors with their own money. They're not here like, oh, I'll happily go and, you know, lose £1 million a week like Roman Abramovich supposedly did, you know, for my own vanity and soft power and whatever else. You know, these guys, they're playing with other people's money, mostly other people's money, people who have invested with them or their funds, or indeed the other funds that are part of this group. So they need to show a return. And that's what I find fascinating. Is there something that they know that we don't? Because you look at these numbers and it's difficult to see how they all add up.
Well, that's exactly what's so interesting about this, because his way of doing, I mean, Bowley or, you know, Bowley, the Bowley Collective, the way of going about things is so different from anything we've seen before from any previous American investor. You know, this is more like the kind of thing that I guess Abramovich did at Chelsea when he first arrived, or Manchester.
When there was no financial fair play and he had to go and like make a name for himself abroad to stay safe from Vladimir Putin and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I know the financial fair play thing. I don't even think we should bother talking about it, because number one, it's kind of a joke, and number two, it's been loosened anyway. And you know,
why do you say it's been loosened?
Well, I mean, they've increased the limits that you can lose over, you know, a certain period of time, or they've doubled the sort of losses that you can amass over a 3-year period, right? I mean, that's a loosening. That's the loosening refer to.
So there's two things. So they've increased those, although they have stricter equity requirements. But the other aspect of that is that you're only allowed to spend on squad costs, which is wages, agent fees, player amortization, and coaching staff. Initially, it's going to be 90% of your revenue.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go down to 70% of your revenue.
Over 2 years or something like this. Yeah. So right? over a 2-year period. And Chelsea are currently...
It's going to be 90% the first season, then 80, then 70%.
So Chelsea are currently over 90%, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think just even with the amortization of it, even with your long contracts, even without UEFA saying, okay, even though you've signed an 8-year contract, we're only going to amortize the fee over 5 years. And by the way, they're not doing it to punish Chelsea. Let's get this out of the way here. A, because the Chelsea guys who signed those long contracts have already signed them. But so it's not like they can do it. They're not going to do it retroactively. But they're doing it simply because, you know, UEFA govern European football, and there's a lot of countries where there is a maximum 5-year contract length. Right. So they want to have a level playing field for everybody. I don't see how you can do that unless your revenues are suddenly going to spike. And we know their Champions League revenues will most likely go down because they probably won't be in the Champions League next year. There's a plan for a new stadium, but that's not going to happen for a long, long time. Right. Expanding Stamford Bridge. You want to go out and sell more commercial sponsorships? Sure, maybe you can try and do that. The world economy is not in a great place right now. It's interesting, Igbali gave an interview in December where, you know, he talked about how they're like, you know, European sports are 20 years behind the US in terms of sophistication, blah, 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 you know, stuff we've heard before, right? But then when he cites like his clever money-making schemes, you know, he starts talking about, you know, stuff like, oh, in-house media, and, you know, you could do fly-on-the-wall documentaries. You know, I mean, I'm shocked he didn't bring up Drive to Survive, right? You know, if it was that easy, then you don't think other clubs might have thought of some of this stuff?
Yeah, they're like that they have.
I mean,
they're already doing those things.
You know, how well did that go? You know, I mean, yeah, some make the club some money. Others... not so much.
But just, Gabriel, just on the financial fair play, right? And the player amortization, I think people have been hearing a lot about that recently. That's the point that when a player is bought, the cost is spread over a number of years. So it shows on future accounts as opposed to this £105 million sterling showing up for this year's accounts, which would screw them in FFP terms. But and on the other hand, any profit made from selling a player, my understanding is that gets put on the counts immediately. Now, firstly, I don't know what that means down the line, because you've pushed all this down the line, so surely there has to be some sort of an issue further along. But secondly, do you think there's a possibility they just don't care about financial fair play? They are prepared to take, realistically, the biggest punishment they'll probably get will be a fine. Maybe UEFA will try to kick them out of a competition. They'll be able to fight that in the courts. We know that. So maybe they just see this as a cost of doing business. And they'll pay whatever fine they need to pay. That doesn't really matter. It's just another 50 million on top of the hundreds of million.
I mean, sure, maybe it's that, right? But, you know, they, and if they keep getting fouled, but the other thing you need to remember here, this isn't, you know, Abu Dhabi or Abramovich saying like, okay, but we're building our brand and blah, 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 and soft power and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, look, we're willing to take it on the chin because, you know, we're promoting something bigger that we think is worthwhile. These are guys who are playing with other people's money and have promised these other people a return on their investment, right? Otherwise, why am I going to invest with Clearlake if they don't deliver a return? So people have put their faith in them. So yeah, they can get all aggressive about that and try to do things like that and try to monetize in other ways. They've kind of indicated that, you know, Super League, not really their thing. They don't need that. So that seems to have gone out the window. I'm just curious to know how you're going to do it. You're right about amortization, putting things, you know, pushing things down the road. The analogy that you would make, and this is the other thing that could get them out of it, and here we go back to the issue of growing revenue, is it's a little bit like, I don't know if you guys have mortgages, right? But, you know, you, let's say you buy a house when you're 30 years old and your mortgage payment is, I don't know, 500 euros a month.
This is going to be very triggering for a lot of listeners, Guy, but the figures are hypothetical. The ages, the figures, everything about this scenario, this wild, this fantastic scenario you've concocted is hypothetical, but go on.
Purely hypothetical. Your mortgage payments are 500 euros a month, and you make, and you make, I don't know, 2,000 euros a month or 1,500 euros a month. So you're, you know, it's a big chunk of your income, right? You're really struggling to pay that, right? And then 10 years later, you've had inflation and whatnot, and A, you're making more money. B, there's inflation, so the 500 euro, you know, maybe now you're making 4,000 euros a month, and there's been inflation, and 500 euros a month just isn't as much money as it was before, both as a share of your income and what it buys you, and so you become more comfortable with that, right? That's the other big gamble. The big gamble is if revenues in football keep going up, if transfer spending keep going up, then, you know, the fact that the, you know, Enzo Fernandez's 8.5-year contract is costing me whatever, 12 million, 13 million a year in amortization, yeah, not that big a deal, right? Because players are going for 250 million or 300 million. Sure, you can gamble on that happening. I'm just not sure it's going to happen. I don't see a reason why football revenue would suddenly across the board go that much higher. Mm. And of course, you have the other obvious issue with the long contracts is, what if he gets injured? What if he's bad? What if he's just not a good player, right?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And I think a lot of it goes back to American sports, because when I hear people explaining this, these long contracts that that Clearlake is giving all these players, people say, well, it works in American sport, so that therefore it will work here. I don't know, firstly, does the long-term contract thing actually work in the US? And is there any reason why it would be different in the Premier League, more risky?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, first of all, American sports have effective cost controls, right? So you in the NFL, which, you know, you have basically salaries can't be more than 48.5% of the league's revenue. That's something they negotiate with the players' union every year. So you know as an owner that that's how much you're going to spend. And obviously you're not spending on transfer fees because there are no transfer fees, right? So I think, you know, that's the main difference. In baseball, there's no salary cap, but there's a luxury tax. So if you want to spend less, you can go and spend less. If you want to spend more, then, you know, for every dollar you spend over a certain amount, you have to put a bit of money into a pot, which ends up, which is then divided up among the other clubs. That really, really helps contain your costs. Throw in the fact that there's 162 games in a season, throw in the fact that, you know, if somebody doesn't work out on a long contract, you're not going to get relegated. Your team turns bad. Well, still, there's a huge chunk of the revenues are shared anyway, a much higher proportion than in football. So in the end,
you're not really going to lose money, right? I mean, if you don't care, if you, and we've seen this happen, right? If your big money signing doesn't work out, it's not that big a deal because, and you can't afford him anymore, and you can't move him on because nobody else wants to pay him that much. Yeah, it's fine. You just keep him. You just let go all the players that you can let go, and you still have 81 home dates. You play 162 games. You're not going to get relegated. Your fans may grumble, but yeah, you still get your slice of the pie, right? So the risk factor is just a lot lower.
Always great to have Gabriele Marcotti on, although I'm still pretty sure he judges me for the time we met in a London restaurant and I tried to pronounce the name of one of the dishes on the menu. Spaghetti alla chitarra con salsa di pomodoro. That was unfortunate. Simon's actually slowed that down. Spaghetti alla chitarra con salsa di pomodoro. I was actually even faster than that one.
Pomodoro.
He just kind of looks up from his own reading of the menu. He's like,
oh, God. Why do I feel assaulted?
I also think I asked what it was and he was like, pasta
pomodoro,
with
mate.
Sauce. Bit of tomato sauce there. Nice bits of pasta.
Buffoon.
All that is yours.
You moron.
All that is yours, Rody. Thumbs up, Murph. We're cool.
Yeah.
All that is yours, Rody. €5 a month plus VAT. And we're covering the news over the last day or two that Katie Taylor will not be fighting in Croke Park after all. The unlikely standoff between Croke Park Stadium director Peter McKenna and promoter Eddie Hearn. It's one of those sporting stories that just, yeah. I don't know. It exists now. This is something that's happening. It's something that we're talking about today and probably tomorrow as well. Also, if you sign up, you won't hear any more ads. So loads of great reasons to sign up. The Second Cabins podcast, Murph, what is it?
Part of the Acast Creator Network. Yeah, they're not going to pay us for that one.
No, it's probably been cut out, don't we?
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.